not a secret. I assume everybody knows the answer to this question, right? Tosos and Tosos Rid, and every Rishon you look at, is bothered by a very basic question. I see your hand, Yitzi, just wait. Okay, so let me make a methodological comment. In general, we have a tendency to overlook this, but in terms of both memory and focus, it's always useful to, whenever you deal with any Rishon, to ask yourself a simple question. What is bothering the Rishon? It's the Nechama Leibovitz question. But nobody ever asks it on Rashi, because Rashi never spells out his questions. He just assumes he doesn't have a question. Rashi wrote to hear himself right, or to see himself right. which is rather unfortunate, because Rashi is almost always bothered by something.
And that's why they started a book club. What's bothering Rashi?
Yeah, that's just a translation. I don't know who published that book, but that's Nechama Leibovitz. It's Mahini at Rashi Lefaresh. Right?
Would that even show anything in some Rashi's and Gemara?
Unless it's just pure translation, in which case his question is what these words mean, because they're rare. Yes, Rashi is virtually always addressing a question. When you're in elementary school, the way you learn Rashi is that Rashi is a translation or a parish of the Gemara, and then Tosus comes and, you know, upshlags Rashi, and Rashi's done with. Rashi was a smart fellow. He was pretty smart, actually. And the fact that Tosus, Akash, and Rashi doesn't mean that Rashi didn't think of the question. And the fact that Tosus almost never gives an answer for Rashi is not that Rashi wouldn't have an answer. It's just that Tosus sees things differently. But Rashi was a very smart man. He doesn't need me to say that. So just as Rashi, that's where the hardest Tosus often are the one-liners, because you don't understand what's bothering Tosus, because he doesn't tell you his question. That means Tosus has reverted to a Rashi-like format. Now, that said, what is bothering Tosus? Shlomo, are you going to...
Yeah, I think, you know, what the Kiddush of Rav is, if we have a Mishnah that... Basically
the Mishnah says Rav's din. Now, of course, what is the simple answer? Not the one that Tosus gives. Yitzi?
Rav's Kiddush is that we get this from
That is a simple solution. The only problem with that is that if that's what the Gemara understood, what is it doing here and not there? Right, and the truth is, besides which, the Gemara has a different drasha. What's the drasha for that? Kol ha-mishalmin, kol ha-gazlan ha-mishalmin kishasa gizema is based on asher gazal. Now, you know, in his Mishnah?
You can't say it for a Mishnah.
Or was in the Mishnah, and because of Rav, he got it.
Leitanus. Hi?
Is there an issue of Geneva versus Gazela?
The obvious question has to come up, possibly come immediately, is that Geneva and Gazela are different. Geneva and Gazela are different. Now, what was the Havamina that most Rishonim, and Tosus Rit is the exception. I was talking to Rav Shechta, I pointed out this Tosus Rit to him, and he said to me, someone should write a dissertation on Tosus Rit, because he has all sorts of funny ideas. Now, didn't one of you tell me that somebody did?
Yeah.
Somebody wrote one.
He's
writing on it.
Well,
that doesn't mean that he's finished it, but you're telling me you know he's finished it anyway. Someone could have been writing, I know, but sometimes people can be writing a dissertation 3 years ago when you were in Eretz Yisrael, and they could still be writing the dissertation. Both as a combination of doing other work, and B, they could still be writing the dissertation. But the Tosus Rid may in effect answer in such a fashion. But most Rishonim, aside from the simple one that I suggested, most of the Rishonim want to answer what, but don't. What's the next step they want to answer? When Tosus brings in these two sugyas, what would have been the next answer? Okay. Rav says, Karen Kane Shagunav, Kefo Tashlame Dalit Vehei, Geshasam Adabedin, and the Gemara explains that is talking about Yukra Vizula. The Mishnah, why did Rav have to tell us this? The Mishnah in Perek Kagozel tells us that Kal Gazlana Mishama Kshas HaGzela. So what's the obvious answer? The Mishnah there is talking about a shino in the guf of the object. And Rav is talking about market value. The Mishnah there says that if you change the object, then you pay Nasa Shina B'yadol Kno and Mishalim Kshas HaGzela. Okay, but here, in the case of market price, you're not kona something because the market price changes. The object hasn't changed. It's the value that the market places upon it. And if that's the case, maybe Rav is talking about something completely different. So most Rishonim think that that is not an option because... Okay. There are two sugyas which bring Kol HaGazlana Mishama Kishas HaGzela in the context of Yukra V'Zula. So obviously the Mishnah is understood to speak about Shinui B'Guf and Yukra V'Zula, Kol HaGazlana Mishama Kishas HaGzela, and once again Rav's Chiddush is not a Chiddush. Now what's the obvious teretz to that? And this may have a historical twist. Mommy?
It's the chronology, like he wrote this, and then that's why the Gemara say that, because they looked at...
That might very well be the case. Very good. In other words, the mission itself is not, in any way, does not seem to be talking about Yukra V'Zula. But Rav came along, and he placed it in a Yukra V'Zula. Now you have two sugyos that succeed Rav, assuming it's chronologically true, assuming you kimta in Rav is early enough, the Yukra V'Zula, that the other two sugyos... Or in fact, the sugya Msachim is completely stam, if I'm not mistaken. And the sugya in Bava Metzia is almost all stam, except for at least centers around Rav's din. So it is entirely conceivable that the conception that Mishnah refers to Yukra V'Zula is a post-Rav development, maybe, as Ami said well, in response to Rav's claim. Assuming that it was understood that Rav... And then again, you have to know when was Rav understood in terms of Yukra V'Zula. That we don't know, because this itself is a stam sugya, but it is entirely conceivable that those two other sugyos, in fact, post-date Rav's, this conception of Rav, and therefore you only know that the Mishnah is talking about Yukra V'Zula, or only are allowed to assume that once you've heard Rav's din. And that would have been another answer, but the Rishonim obviously not going to give that answer. Chaim?
That still seems like Rav's superfluous, because either way you would have had this Mishnah, you have this Mishnah that's contradicting the Braisa that we bring up. Saying when we pay, from what value do we pay the knessas? So why do you need Rav to come along and say that, okay?
Now, excuse me, the Brises don't say anything about Karen. There's no steer between the Mishnah and the Brises. We pointed this out when we read the Gemara the first time. These Brises say nothing about what the name of Karen is, at least what the Gemara cites.
The Mishnah
in Hagosa doesn't talk about the Knas. There's no Knas by Gezel. The Sugyas and Psachim and in Bav Metzia don't talk about Geneva and Knas, they talk about Gezel. Are you on?
Why can't they answer that Rav is bringing that first part in order to bring the second part? He's only talking about Karen. When Rav...
You mean the other way?
I'm a Rav. Karen King, she got up to Shulay Kevil, the first name.
So what do you want to suggest? That Rav is really saying...
The first part, when he talks about Karen, which is the problematic part, is just brought in order to bring the second part.
All right, so why don't... What do you think guys think of that answer? Let's repeat it again.
First part is only brought the second part.
I told you that one, so I can tell you this one.
Yeah, what's wrong with that? You three? He said that Karen Kain Shaganov is not really the Chiddush. The Chiddush is Kevod Al Vehei. That's what all the Rishonim say. You had an honors committee meeting this morning.
Same answer, and if you did read them, also have two.
There you go. Okay.
See, so it's a good,
See, y'all, you should have been born at a different time. You wouldn't have been Balei HaTosfos. Okay. And they wouldn't have had any honors committee meetings then, so. Okay. So anyway, fine. So that is the answer most Rishonim give, is that the Ikar of Rav is not Karen Kentra Ganav, it's Kefel, Vidal Vehe Kishasa Mada Bedin. Okay? That basically is the way, that's the structure, that's what you should walk away with when you've read Tosos. There's a lot of details in between. There's a lot of fuzz, or, you know, background, not fuzz, a lot of background static. That's what you want to walk away with. The problem in the Gemara is that Rav's din is superfluous, it's the din of the Mishnah. And you can't distinguish between Yorker Vizula and Shino in the Mishnah, because even though you can just make that distinction, the Mishnah is understood by two other sugyos to be talking about Yorker Vizula as well, not just Shinoi. And therefore, Tosos and most Rishonim come on to the answer is that the Ikar of Rav is Karen Kein Shaganav, is not Karen Kein Shaganav, it's Kefa Davi Kishasam of the Bedin, and Karen Kein Shaganav is only brought in that way. Now, I mean, that's a very generic power statement, though. That doesn't prove anything one way or the other here. I should note, there's a girsa the Rashba had. My time at the Rav, Karen Kein Shaganav, Amar Kro Ganeva V'chaim. There is a girsa which suggests that Gwen wants to know, how does Rav know his din of Karen Kein Shaganav? And then they quote the pasuk for it. So the Rashba says, even then, that girsa really sounds like the ego of Rav's chiddush was Karen Kein Shagana. So even to that, the Rashba says no. How is it that Rav knew that Kefil and Dal Vehei were Kishasa Mada Bedin? Tosa says it. How do you know that? What's the makar? Again, you see, one of the things. You may or may not have done this, but you read this long Tosos, you go through the Rayas, and you lose a little perspective on the basic outlines, the basic questions. Right? What is the makar for Rav's din? What? Yeah, what better is to tell you about Kefil Nal Vehei? Okay, so that's what Tosos says. Achi le Karen Kein Shaganav. Some Rishonim will add a svara that the pasuk is only by Karen, and once you don't have a pasuk, the logical thing is Kishas HaMadah B'din, because that's when he becomes Chayiv in Kefil and Da'al V'Heh.
Even though the pasuk is talking about Kefil.
No, but the pasuk of Geneva V'Chayim, the Geneva is what? He didn't steal the Kefil. The Geneva is the Karen that he stole. Right?
Oh, so it's before Chayiv in Shalayim Seidon.
Correct. In other words, when we talk about the Hageneva, what's the Geneva? That's the Karen. That's what he stole. And then Shnayim Yishalim. But when you say Achein the Karen Kein Shaganav, that means that the Karen must be Kein Shaganav. Everything else, does it? Is not Kein Shaganav. Now, why should it be Kshasam Adabdin more than Kein Shaganav? The answer is because that's the time you become Chayiv and the Kefil and the Dal Vehei. Obviously, there's something bizarre here. There's something bizarre about Rav's din. What's strange about Rav's din, Lamaisa? Practically speaking. Not practically, pragmatically, but from a very pragmatic perspective. Ami?
It's hard to see it as capable when it's not really capable.
Yeah!
It's an extra.
Yeah! I mean, if you think about the conceptual revolution that you have being presented here in Rav, it's astounding. Kefil means you pay twice what you stole. No, not true. Kefil means you pay what the value of the object is now. Karen means you pay what you stole. Dalad Vehei. You know, it's like, okay, if a guy's going to steal your cow, and he steals your prize steer, okay, and you like, if he's going to steal in Shecht something, now which one do you want him to steal in Shecht? Well, from a purely bottom line economic perspective, you'd like him to steal in Shecht your most expensive cow. Right? Because if he steals a $10 cow, he pays you $50. If he steals a $100 cow, he pays you $500. Right? I mean, that's a very practical perspective. But it turns out, in fact, that when he steals your $10 cow, he might not pay you $50. He might pay you... It might be that the dollar of a hay, you know, if the market crashes on cows, it could be he'll pay you $10 back for the cow, and another, you know, $4 for the Dalit, you know, or $3 if it were a sheep, right? So, you know, we have a new system of mathematics where 5 times 10 equals 14. It's an interesting perspective. I recommend you don't write that even on math for dummies in yeshiva college, you know, if there is such a thing. I don't know. There's no math for dummies. Okay. The mathematicians are still too purist. They can't have, like, you know, physics for poets or bio for the brain dead. But so you don't have math for dummies. What's that?
Math for undummies.
So, but the point is, 5 times 10 is not 14. So it is really a radical. It's a radical idea that you can separate the two. But the Makor in this point that we showed him don't emphasize the separation of the two, but in effect, achi like Karen Kain Shaganav, but not necessarily anything else. It says Geneva.
And the Geneva
is the Karen.
Is Achei
Benachur. Right. And the point is you didn't steal the Kefel. You only stole the Karen. In effect, what it really means, it's almost the following. Better way, it's really you do pay arithmetically Kefel or Dal V'Hei. How is that? Explain, how is it that you're really arithmetically paying, let's say, Dal V'Hei? Let's say you steal. When I tell you that the cow started out worth $10, now it's worth $1 and you pay $14, how is that really 5 times? Ben?
You pay back the original sheep, let's say, the cow.
No, you don't. The original cow is dead. You were kind of a machine.
As if you paid back the original cow that you stole. And then you buy 4 more. Mm-hmm. And you would pay back. You would pay in the store $1 for each of the ones that you get.
That's it, one way. I was thinking that's actually the same thing I'm thinking about, but in a slightly different angle. Ami,
somewhat related actually what we've had is that really you pay the 4 back. You pay really what you're gonna pay the extra 4 that you pay. You pay the 5 times, but then you pay an extra for the profit, so you pay the extra $9.
Well, I would call it the profit. Correct. In other words, when you're paying Dalit V'Hei, what is the basis on what you pay? 5 of the dollars you pay, let's say it was a sheep, so you're paying 4, a goat, a cow. So you're paying, I mean a cow, yes, 14. You're paying $14, right? It was originally worth 10, now it's worth 1. So you're paying $14. What you're really paying is $5, because that's 5 times what the cows are worth now. And then you're paying 9 to fulfill Achi Lekeren Ke'en Sheganav. Now, when you look at that, by the way, you start to realize that Es HaYishivas HaGzela Asher Gazal, which is the source for Kain Shagazal, is something completely different. Right? Conceptually, it's completely different. It has nothing to do. In other words, there you're paying back what you stole.
Excellent.
Here, what you're paying back is what it's worth now. It's just that you have the special mitzvah achil karen kain shaganav. It's completely different. Completely different. Now that, by the way, fits nicely also with the same, our general question, the difference between Geneva and Gzela in terms of the Tashlumin piece. Right, whereas Gezela is Kein Shagazal, Geneva is Tashlumen. This piece actually may, there are a lot of pieces that are going to, I didn't sketch this out at the beginning of the year because I didn't know what's going to come, but we may see more and more of this, the difference between Geneva and Gezela, and this is one more piece that goes along with that Rambam. The Tosas Rid is an even more striking piece we're going to see. Any of you seen the end of Tosas Rid yet? No, which is fine, we're not going to get to it today. Tosas Rid is really exciting. I engaged in an act of cruelty because I made you read the whole thing. I could have just sent you to the punchline at the end. What? And it's confusing at certain points. But, you know, that's... I know that for conceptual purposes, I could give you 4 lines to read. But for pedagogical purposes, I think it's the wrong way to do things. So when we read... Well, you'll see, when we read Mohammeds, we don't generally read 1 line out of a Mohammeds. We read the Mohammeds because you have to know how to... You have to learn how to read a Mohammeds. You have to learn how to read a Tosas Rid. So... Even if it means you cover less, but that's how you learn to learn. Chaim.
Just to get the stats of this case set down, how much was it worth originally and how much is it worth now? For the way we said that it was originally worth 5 and now it's getting 15. How much was it originally worth?
It's originally worth 10.
It's originally worth 10.
Now cows are worth 1.
Okay.
And he shechts it.
One
from 10 to 1, yes. Okay, that might be a little unlikely, but it's easy to see. It's easy to do. Shalom?
The problem with thinking about it as... Five and then plus 9 is after. Yeah. So I think the problem with that is, let's say he stole something and then moved it. Then we only pay 1? Because if you're saying that really, in essence, Geneva, you're only paying what it is now, and then we just have to add.
No, 1 second. Give me the scenario. He steals a cow. And what does he do?
And then he's just. You're saying that if he's, let's say he steals a cow and it depreciates from 10 to 1, and then it's a modeh.
A modeh, did he shech the cow or not?
No, he didn't do anything.
Are you just going to give the cow back?
He's just going to give it back, but then...
But that's how...
Let's say he kills a cow.
Okay, no, fine. So he kills the cow, so...
But he's not tied with all day, and he's put on the thing. And then you're saying really he's only tied one, and he's just paying extra nine. Even in that case, he's just paying extra nine.
Correct. And I would say that Karen there is one. But there's a... that when you pay the Karen back, you have to be achin the Karen Kain Shagana. If it depreciated. And therefore you pay 10. But in principle, the Karen is 1.
So the Karen is the status that it is now?
Yeah. And it's not totally illogical in the sense that when I really destroyed your cow was when I shechted it, right? But what was it worth then? And there's always the argument, what if? What if I hadn't stolen your cow? What if I hadn't stolen your cow? And you would have probably held on to it, right? And it would have depreciated to 1 in your possession. Right? Now, the answer is, well, too bad you stole my cow. I could, in theory, have sold it. But in other words, it's not crazy, the idea that you should only pay the market value. And haraya, that if you return the cow itself, at least except for, well, we see Tosfos Rid, but for all other Rishonim, you return the cow itself, and you say, Reisho Chalafanecha, in effect, but you could maybe have sold the cow before the market tanked from cows? Well, the answer is, that's only a grama. That's a grama benizakin. Right? What if I didn't steal your cow? What if I simply... I made funny noises at your cow and it ran away. And then the market crashed on cows. And now finally the cow comes home. Isn't that like the sheep in Little Bo Peep or something? The cows come, you know, whatever, home. Right? So when the cow comes home, what is it worth now? It's worth 1. So I was mazik you because I drove that. Let's say I knew you were going to sell the cow. You announced your intention to sell the cow and I made trouble and I drove your cow off. I didn't steal it. There's no kinyan gezeila. And now the cow comes home and it's only worth 1. So the din is ampater. It's grama benizakin. If I stole it, it's because the Kinyan Gezela Yehuda, that's why you have Achi LeKaren Kain Shagana.
But you still have to do tshuva for being mazik.
That's true. B'dinei Shemaim, you might be chayev on some level. We frequently have that. Grama ben Nizakim, at least in some cases, the Gemara says, is part of B'dinei Adam Chayev B'dinei Shemaim. But the bottom line is it's not crazy, the idea that the Karen is whatever its market value is at the time that you destroyed it. When you really stole it. I mean, not that you really stole it then, but you removed it mirshus bailan then, much as you have in the Sugya Bava Metzia, right? It's when you hotsam in a olam, right? Okay. Or I should say like Rabba's Tavar or Shasya, right? Because that's when you really motzi mirshus bailan, when you destroy it then. Okay.
So if you were to pay back in something that's worth monetary value but not actually pay back money, you would have to pay back how many sheep?
I'm sorry, if you were to pay back... are we going back to our familiar case here?
Yes.
You stole the sheep when it was worth 10.
You stole one sheep when it was worth 10.
It depreciates to one,
which is a little bit of extreme case.
But you slaughter it.
You slaughter it, and now you have to... And so now you have to pay back Davahe.
You pay back $13 worth of material.
So you pay back 13 cows. Or 13 sheep.
13 sheep, yes.
If it's a sheep, it would be dalid. So,
eh? But let's. But see, here's the deal, Ben. You're making it sound funny. Except
yes.
It's really, yes. But the point is, what happens if you didn't shecht it? What if you took a skillet and you beat it over the head to death, right? And what if you stole it b'fneiam b'farheset, not as a geneva, right? And now it depreciates. You know, you steal b'fneiam v'eda, so it's not geneva, okay? And it doesn't really matter at this point. I mean, let's say you do kill it. You like my mashalim, right? Okay. Those things will probably stay with you. You probably won't remember anything about Merubah unless you're Chazer in 20 years from now. But you remember about beating the cow over the head with a skillet. So something will stay. So the point is, what do you pay in that case? You come to pay in sheep, you pay 10.
Okay, but...
Right? Because Kain Shagazal.
Without the Dalai Vahe part.
Right, but so on Gezel, you're paying 10 times what you stole. The answer is no, you're not paying 10 times. You're not paying, you know, 10 times what you stole. You're just paying Kain Shagazal, the valuation. So don't you?
But,
it still
is a big change because if you would pay back that cow.
Correct. Well, that's the whole notion of, it's a funny notion. If I steal your chametz and there's something only a base medrash sadist could think up of the case of, you know, gazal chametz shel chavero, right, and returns it to me after Pesach and says harei shel chalufanecha. But only a sadist could think of that. I mean, this is sort of like, you know, I steal your beautiful cake. You know, you were planning to have, you know, the last chametz before Pesach, and I steal this beautiful cake, and I come to Erev Pesach et Chatzos, and I say, by the way, Harishal Cholafanecha, right? I mean, only sadists can think of that. You have to have a streak, not a mamish of sadists. But the point is, it's a strange din. How can you return it then? It's worth nothing. It's worth nothing.
That's what you stole.
Right, because, you know, and by the way, we're going to see, again, now Tosfos Rit is looming here. Tosfos Rit has some interesting things to say about that. But it's a pele. How can you return it then when it has, you're not returning the value of what you stole? Yeah,
also,
I'm returning the object. Yeah, that's very nice, but...
The case of Chametz Shavu'ot Pesach seems like it should be much more complicated, because there's no way that person wants to get their Chametz back. Right?
I know, but it doesn't
have Chametz and during Pesach.
No, but the point
right?
is, let's say I steal a sheep of yours, and then the market tanks. You might not want a sheep
that's
back either.
Case.
But the point is, everybody would prefer the value if they had originally.
No, so if you have, if you don't have the chametz there with you at the time, so then you're gonna have yeush, right, on that cake.
Yeah.
On the chametz.
But yeush kedin lo kani.
You're gonna say any chametz that I have is, I'm gonna make it hefker, and all sorts of things, right? It should be more complicated. I don't know if it is. But it should be more complicated.
Another way of putting this is.
Just because it's
is
the
what,
so
again, stuff. What would happen if you baked this beautiful cake and then I broke into your house and I tied you up and then I'm sitting there with you, so I haven't stolen the cake, as you're watching the clock tick tock towards Chatzos Hayom, and then 1 second before Chatzos Hayom I pull the bow and say, okay, you're free, right? In that case, you're Vadei Pater, right? There's no Safek, because that's just Grama Bin Nizakin. What's that? So the point is, so if I steal, but it's different if I steal the cake, right? Because there I made a kinyan gzela. But apparently, even when I made a kinyan gzela, when I return a kein shegazal, there's this cruel irony that no, I can say a reishul chalafaneh. Yeah, that's the strange thing. When I return your sheep that depreciated, it's worth a tenth of what it was, but I'm potter.
I'm just saying, not the value of the cake, but the in terms of the Isser Pesach applying to it.
I'm not interested in that. Right. You're
asking.
That case assume it's going to be. It's going to be a chametz father. It's going to be. Bottom line, it's going to be aser b'hanah. I understand what you're driving, but that's a side point. It's going to be aser b'hanah.
I mean, the reason why it becomes worthless is not because it's not actually worth some. The cake itself is. If you sold it, you could really sell it for a certain amount.
But right. The assumption is Yisurei Hana.
You have to sell it to a Jew.
Yisurei Hana aren't effectively worth nothing.
Right.
That's
so
the assumption. I understand.
That's the whole reason why it's worthless in the first place.
Yes. Okay. And the Gemara, by the way, says it's a Hezek Shenan Ikar. You see, the truth is, the guy, when I tie you up and you can't get to the cake, so that's a Grama, and it's also Hezek Shenan Ikar. But in this case, it's strange. I stole it. Right? I stole it. The fact that I didn't. I mean, it's a pella. I'm returning to you something that's worth less than, far less than what it was worth originally, and somehow that's okay. Okay.
Why isn't the
Gemara
telling
us? It's not okay. You still did a
no. I told after Chatzos Hayom. You could let him go during Pesach anyway. As soon as Pesach comes, and he owes it, it's
aser. Why is it
we're going to see the end of the Tosfos Rit. He's going to distinguish between Gezel and Ganeva, which is interesting. But what Achi the Karen Kain Shaganav means. You can sort of see where that's going. All right. Anyway, in the meantime, before we get to see that, let's take a look. I passed out the sheets. Let's just read relatively quickly the two sugyos. And again, methodically speaking, the best way of doing things when you have to attack a tosis like this is first learn every gemara. The hardest gemara here, by the way, is the one on Kofei. I didn't put it here for you, but you can look it up in your gemara. Yes.
Sure. Is it
Rabba
or Rabba?
Tavro, the Rabba.
I'm saying tosos and Rabba.
Where? Really?
Oh. There was a note.
Source
of Shas that changed it.
Uh huh. Yeah. Do I have any way of knowing which it really is? I mean, obviously, it's one of the most common Shinun Eschos. All right, he tells you here, but Tosfos Bamitzia, that I probably did see that once upon him. Why is he disagreeing? There's no machlokas according to the Bible between Rav and Rav. Rav is just defending Rav there. He's not attacking Rav. Sure. Anyway, I would assume that I would assume it's I would assume
that doesn't mean
that
you did.
Right. I mean it does, you know, Minayin Lamachlef show Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Shua Belezer, show over below Sasin Shinam Rolo Sasik Vurecha. So yeah, but she violated a lot, but other than that it sure doesn't matter.
They should have known better.
What's that? Oh, you mean that's the Teretz. Okay, but if we misquote them, so we violate the law. Whatever. I don't know for sure. I just assumed it's Rabba, but whatever. So let's take a look at the Gemara Bava Metzia. Ami, you want to read?
Okay, I'll read.
It's probably just a convention. They're both probably Rabbi Abba. It's probably just I don't know how early the convention was to distinguish by using one a hey and one an al. We end up pronouncing one Rabba and one Rava, but Rava is a contraction of Rabbi Abba, so it probably should be Rabba also. But the way we distinguish in the base medrash is we call him Rava and Rabba. I don't know what his wife called him, but what's that? Okay, only in Rosh Hashanah. Next. Go ahead. I don't care about Rabbi. Well, a couple of haras about the Mishnah. First, the term sholeach yad. It's a funny term, right? You can imagine someone goes, right? He sends his hand. It's a funny idiom. We know it. We've repeated it so many times that we just assume that shlichus yad doesn't mean that you take your hand out and you put it in an envelope and send it to somebody. Shlichus yad means, how did the Targumim translate it? I think we've encountered this, maybe I'm wrong. No? Oshatus yadach is mishlach yadecha. Sure you have, ayishlach avraham es yado. He didn't put a stamp on his hand and send it away, right? I know, but it's still the same word. The oshet. No, the term is biblical Hebrew. Shlichus yad comes from shalach yado. I agree, but it's a funny biblical idiom, right? So it doesn't mean he stuck a stamp on it and put it in the mail. He sent it. It means to stretch out the hand. And by yishlach Avraham es yado chaim is translated as the oshet Avraham yas yaday. Right. Fine. So that's the term shalach yad bepikadon. So Beis Shammai says yilake b'chaser v'yaser. What does emerge from Beis Shammai Shita is what? Whatever this means exactly.
The Ganav always
loses out. That's important because it's a very abrupt transition later in the Sugya on Mem Gimel Amud Beis. But Rashi points it out. Rashi doesn't elaborate at great length, but Rashi points out that something has fundamentally shifted in the Gemara, and you have to because otherwise Beis Shammai is going to turn out in certain cases to be the Mekel.
Wait, why is he the Mekel? Like, why is it Mekel? Just because he's Mamachmir, the Ganav, because the Sevdin and Mamanot, there's no...
No, the point is that he's letting the Ganav off. In other words, the Gemara, you have to shift in your interpretation of the Gemara because he's letting the Ganav off more easily.
But you can always say that for Dina and Momona, there's no real half, there's no absolute
Gemara. No, I agree, but so the point is that clear from the Mishnah, they were always harsher on the Ganav and Beis Shammai Shita. And therefore, at a certain point in the Sugya, when it appears that it's not, that Beis Shammai will be lighter on the Ganav in this case that they're trying to figure out, then that doesn't work. Okay, and we'll get there in the
of where rises and falls in value.
I don't remember. We'll see when we get to the Gemara what the case is. Okay, now Beis Hillel says kishas hotza. The other point, whatever that means, the Gemara will talk about it. Rabbi Akiva says kishas hatzviya. Now I'm not interested in what Rabbi Akiva's sheet is as much as, and it just sounds like a strange sheet in the first place. Who's Rabbi Akiva arguing with? You see. Which is a little bit odd. For Rabbi Akiva to be arguing on the collective schools, you know. Now, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai end sort of the generation before Rabbi Akiva. The last member of Beis Hillel probably was Rabbi Yoshua. There's an interesting Tosefta in Chagiga. It's a mission Adios. I don't know if it's a Tosefta in Chagiga or where the Tosefta is. It might be in Alos. Where in the Mishnah in Adios, it's Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel speaking to Beis Shammai. In the Gemara Chagiga, when they, I think, and maybe in the Tosafta they quote it, it's Rabbi Yoshua who seems to be the fill-in for Beis Hillel there. It's also well known that Rabbi Eliezer was referred to by the Gemara as a Shamuti. Gemara Nida in Elsberg says Rabbi Eliezer Shamuti. Who? What does Shamuti mean? So Rashi says he was excommunicated. Bala Tosa say no, he wasn't really excommunicated after all. It does say Berchuhu, it doesn't say Niduhu. right, in the Tanur Shalachnai, which that I think is a kvetch, but Tosis is probably right anyway. They probably did excommunicate him, but probably Shamuti doesn't mean excommunicated, it means Beishamai. Many seem to. Why? That's the story of Tanur Shalachnai. He would not yield to the will of the majority. That was famous story in Bava Metzia, Daf Nun Tes, Perek HaZahav. Okay.
That's HaGadol.
So, what's that?
HaGadol.
What?
His last name is HaGadol.
Sometimes he's called, I think, Rabbi Elazar HaGadol, yes.
He's
Levi. Levi. He was the Levi. Rabbi Yeshua was a Levi, Rabbi Elazar was a Levi. That's Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus. Ben Hyrcanus was his last name. Now, Rabbi Akiva, my guest, by the way, is probably not arguing with Beishal Mesil. He's claiming Lo Nechlaku B'davar Zeh. Rabbi Akiva's arguing on the Tanakhama of the Mishnah, who presents the following Machlokas Beishal Mesil. That would be my guess. Or, alternatively, he's arguing what Beis Hillel said. He acknowledges that maybe Machlok is Beis Hillel, but he's saying Beis Hillel didn't say Kishas Otzah, Beis Hillel said Kishas Atviyah. That would be my guess. All right, that's not our concern now anyway. So let's go to Amar Rabbah. Go ahead.
Amar Rabbah.
I will not say another word on grammar, but the vocalization of that first word would be probably to be correct. Haiman. Shalama? The Gazal. Right? Gazal, because it's an Aramaic statement. Gazal means is stealing. Gazal, ksav, is stole, wrote.
Would it be like
Gazal? But you get both. Avar, this is the one I just encountered, which is Patach. You get Patach and Seir. Okay. Nuf said, Hi man, the Gazal, the Chavita, the Chamra, the Chavra. Go ahead.
Meikara Shavya Zuza. Hasta Shavya Arba'a.
Tavra.
Tavra O Shetia.
Probably Shasya.
Mishalem Arba'a.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was looking for yesterday in class for an example of a yud which represents a tuf swallowed up, and this is a good example. Itvar. It should have been istvar. Right? It's a passive. Tvar is he broke. Itvar, or it broke. It broke something else. Itvar is it was broken. It should have been istvar. It should have been ispa'al or ispa'el. And instead, the tuf disappears and you get a yud. Itvar. And then that's not why. You could have had istvar. Or you might have had itvar, but instead they're tough, right? But instead, if you have a dagger, if you probably don't have, it's probably istvar or something like that. No way of knowing for sure. But it is frequent. There'll be better examples, but this happens to be a good one. This is istvar, it was broken. So itvar, itvar mela. Fine. We saw this already. My timer. This is not Rabbah's statement probably anymore. Be'en. In other words, if it were there, it would return. It would go back to the owner. Be'en. So therefore, he shata. Right. No. So the time he breaks it or drinks it, that's when he's stealing. Utnan. Okay. Now the second half, itvar.
Itvar mimela, mishalem duda. My tama, hasta lo abidla velo midi. Amai kam chayve lei.
There's a funny word, amai. You have this funny ambiguity in Hebrew also. What does amai mean?
Why or what?
Right. In other words, they are obviously related, but you have the same in Hebrew. You will have, and it depends upon the vocalization. You have lama and lema. Lema amru chacham, and that really is different. I mean, that's clearly different. Lema amru chacham with respect to what? That's really different than lama. But it's similar. Here, amai is on what? On account of what? Which is a little different than why. It comes out here to be the same thing. But amai, on what are you being mechayev him? And you can see if you know that's amai because the next one answer is ahahi.
Ahahi sa'ata de gedela. He sa'ata tu zivu de shavya.
Fine. So this we saw in our Gemara, no chidushim here. Tanan.
Bidhilam min ksa'ata.
Okay, so let's just think about the case here. A person gets an object, he's then sholeach yad. He does something to the object, and he's violated shlichus yad. So in some ways, he has made a kind of quasi-kind of gezela. Now, one of two things happens. Either, in the process of being shalech yad, he damages or destroys the object. Alternatively, he's shalech yad, but doesn't do anything to the object, in which case the object is still be'en, And to do a proper tshuva, proper hashava, he gives it back. And now, subsequently, he does something to the object. Because remember, obviously, at the end of our Mishnah, what is the story of the object by the time you get to the din in our Mishnah? When a person is shlichos yabe pikadam, doesn't mean destroying it. It could destroy it, it might not destroy it. But you know that when you get to the end of the Mishnah, what would the din seem to be? What would we think?
It's not there anymore.
You assume it's not there anymore, because otherwise you would take it and return it be'en. But what if it declined in value? Why would we think that you could return it be'en?
Giving what you returned and it went down anyway, let's say.
Well, because it's no worse than a goslin. What happens when a goslin steals an object? Straight out of Shishdabalam. Yeah, Logarmi goslin. Why should he be worse than a goslin? A goslin steals something, it depreciates in value. Okay, as long as the object is still be'en, he says, Harei Shochal Lefanecha. So the Shomer, presumably, unless Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel held differently, unless they Mamish held completely differently than Mishnah later, unless they held differently, maybe they do, but, you know, the Gemara doesn't seem to assume that. So you have to assume that the object is no longer. And therefore, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are discussing how do you place the valuation. Right? And it's not an unreasonable assumption. It's not mochrach, but it's not unreasonable. Okay. So my kishaso tzah. Ilema. Fine. So the Gemara assumes, and one possibility, which Gemara assumes to be ridiculous, is that, let's say, he steals the object. He sholeach yad the object. It's worth $10 originally. Let's say when he sholeach yad, it's worth $10. Then it declines in value and it's worth $5, and then he destroys it. So why would anybody say that he only pays $5? How could you say that you pay kashasot zam in ha'olam if it's bechoser? Kol gazlan mishalim kashasa gzeila, and he is in effect a goslin. I mean, you know, worse than a goslin, but he's really in many ways. In some ways, he is better than a goslin because he didn't take it, he didn't steal it directly from the owner. He was given it birshus. It's just that he then used it improperly. So it can't be chaser. So ela pshita.
Ela pshita kisa atet. Ela pshita kisa atet mibet v'alom.
Now the truth is there was an obvious answer that I'm not sure why it. I don't know if the Gemara later says it. But why? I think the Gemara may say it. I wish I had Rashi here. When you read this line in the Gemara, what's your immediate response?
Which line?
What?
Which line?
In other words, it can't be b'chaser. So therefore, what must it be? It must be kashas otzami beis ba'im.
That seems obvious.
Well, no. There's another alternative. The Gemara, which maybe that is the maskana. I don't want to see if Rashi just says b'feirish or not. What's the alternative? What about if it said biyaser? Why not say biyaser? What would the din be then?
It says
biyaser hainu beis shammai. Sorry, that is the... I just thought the Gemara said it skipped my eyes. Fine. I biyaser, then that would be beis shammai. Why? Because you'd be punishing him. Yeah. So beis shammai says yilake b'chaser biyaser. So there has to be a situation where beis hillel is letting him get off the hook by saying kishas hotza'a. Letting him get off the hook by saying kishas hotza'a. But it can't be yoser. That would be shitas beis shammai as well. Chaser, you can't say he gets off the hook by paying less, because that would be against the Mishnah Kol Gazlan Misham Kishas Agzela. Now again, as I said earlier, maybe the Mishnah doesn't agree with beis shammai beis hillel. I don't know. Okay, so then what does Gemara turn around and say? It must be. So when you shaleach yad, that's what Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel says that you pay when the object is not extant. You pay whatever its value was when you stole it, when you were shaleach yad.
Okay.
Okay? Now, that means what? It means that if when I stole it from Shaleach Yad, it was worth 5, and now it's worth 10, what do you pay according to Beis Hillel? You pay 5. Against Rabbah. Now, Beis Shammai would say, Yilaka b'chasav yasa, you pay 10. That would be Rabbah. So now the Gemara turns around and says...
Wait, so Rabbah says you always pay what it is now.
Rabbah says that if it appreciated in value from the time you stole it and then you destroy it, you pay the higher value.
But you always pay the higher value, or you only pay the higher value when it went up?
No, when it went down, you still pay the higher value. That everybody seems to agree to. When it goes down, that you pay the original value. It's when it goes up. So is the Chiddush of Rabbah. So that would be, so Ibi Yasser, I'm sorry, so Lema Rabbah.
Lema Rabbah de Amr Kibbe Chamai. Amr Lach Rabbah. Abi Yeter, Kuli Amr Lach Pligi. Ki Pligi Bechaser.
Ki Pligi Bechaser. Okay, now, Beis Shammai is saying, Beis Hillel is saying what? Kishas Hotzah, and this is the key point. We're going back to, the Gemara is going to be basically a balabata shukimta in the Mishnah now, in the Machlokas, right? What is Rashi? I don't know if you saw Rashi. Ki pligi b'chaser. What did the Gemara just say now? Well, the Gemara wanted to say, they're arguing the last attempt was b'yoser, and by what? Kishas hotzah mi beis b'ilam. The Gemara now says, going back to kishas hotzah min ha'olam, which is funny because the Gemara never uses the word ella. I didn't check Kisfayah, but you would expect the word Ella. You're going back to the original suggestion of Kishas Hotzam and Ha'olam. Right? Hoshas Hotzam, Yibes Bailim, is not going to work. We can work that out why it won't work in a second. We're going back to Kishas Hotzam min Ha'olam, and it's a case of Chaser. And what's the argument really about? The argument is no longer about how you pay over Shlichus Yad, but over Shlichus Yad Shricha Chisaron, right? That's the next one? Right. So is that an argument about how you pay with reference to Shlichus Yad between Bisham and Sel? No, what's an argument about? The definition of Shlichus Yad. It's a peladiko kimta when you think about it. The Mishnah sounds like they're talking about a fundamental paradigm of how you pay tashlumen, you know, based upon shlichus yad and the change in value of something subsequently.
So where should it?
And the Gemara turns around and says, no, the machlokas b'sham eisel, they all agree about how you pay. They all agree about how you pay. The only thing they're arguing about is whether this is called shlichus yad or not. In other words, the only reason why Beis Shammai says yilake b'chaser is because they hold it with shlichus yad, and the only reason why Beis Hillel says you don't say yilake b'chaser is because they hold that there wasn't shlichus yad. And therefore, at the time it's destroyed, that's like Rabbah's, you know, that's like Tavro, that's like Itabar Mimela. What's that? I don't want to deal with Rabbi Akiva right now. I want to think about it. It's gonna be too dizzying for me.
No, but that destroys the whole Kimta.
Yes, it does. That's such a good question that Rishonim must ask that question. He says, Rabbi Akiva's Kishas HaTfiyah. But you have to look what they do with Rabbi Akiva. I don't remember what the Gemara does. The Gemara gives bizarre ukimt in Rabbi Akiva. I don't remember what it was.
Like, the question about the nature of shlichus yad in Rabbi Akiva doesn't belong in the Mishnah.
Right. In other words, how can you talk about the shas hatviyah?
So make you didn't realize that they're arguing about it.
Well, it's right, but that's why I would say he would argue that lo nechleku lo olam medavar zeh. Now I want to take one step back. Why did the Gemara not simply leave it as? Oh, how did Rashi know? The Gemara wanted to say that the Mishnah is talking about a case of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel holds Kishas Hotzah Mibeis Bailim, and a case of Yoser, what happens? It means that, again, you do Shlichus Yad when the object's worth 5. Now the object appreciates, it's worth 10, and now you destroy it. So it turns out Beis Hillel says you pay Kishas Hotzah Mibeis Bailim, which is 5, and that's against Rabbah. Rabbah holds like Beis Shammai. So the Gemara turns around and says, no, we're talking about Hotzah, Beis Hillel's talking about Hotzah and Olam, and it's a completely different way of reading the Mishnah. Why did the Gemara say, Kishas Hotzah mi Beis Bailim? And then they're arguing about Shlichus Yad.
Why did Rashi say?
Yeah, why did they go that way?
Are you asking Rashi?
Yeah, and how does he know?
It should be the opposite if we're talking about. If we're talking about Tamir Shubali, then you have to say that the Chama de Gola Grina Pusser, and not when it appreciates the value.
Correct, and what would be happening? I think if you work, it's hard for me to work it out right now. I worked it out once. It would work out according to this. I think Bishamai would be the Makil. I believe that's what would happen. I think it works out that Bishamai, Bishamai the Makil. That's why. I can't sketch it out. I don't want to belabor it, but that's why I point that earlier at the Mishnah. It's clear that Bishamai holds. You always wind up worse. They're always more machmir in Beis Hillel. That's Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel basically says you pay kashas at some olam, and Beis Shammai says basically, well, you always have to get, the ganav always has to come out losing. You know, sometimes Beis Hillel might agree to Beis Shammai, the ganav comes out losing, but sometimes Beis Hillel would say the ganav doesn't lose, Beis Shammai would say the ganav loses. Shalom?
If Beis Shammai assumes the ganav always comes out losing, then if somebody brings in a question that people are brought on Beis Hillel the first time, that really they should really pay a share gazal.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
Meaning, if the whole proof against Beit Hillel that the first time around when we said that really it's Tamir Olam was that then you have a problem of
Yilaka Bechaser. How could you say you speak Kishasa Tzah Mina Olam? Then everybody says it's Shalom Kishasa Gzela. The Mishnah says it.
Right. So then Beit Shammai though says that you always have to get the higher, and that's not. Why
well,
is that a question of
Beis
Shammai in general?
Beis Shammai would say what?
Beis Shammai say you always you pay based on whichever is
a
higher value.
No, Kol HaGazlan HaMashalman Kishas only speaks about a situation when it depreciates.
How do we know that?
The Gemara always assumes that, assumes it gets broken. It assumes basically. How do we know? That a guy, in other words, why don't you say the Mishnah is against Rabbah?
Because if the whole case of Hagozal Eitzim is where it appreciates. And there he's also paid only Hagozal.
No, it doesn't appreciate there. He makes a shina there.
Right, but
I understand that it's worth more, but that's like Pitma. Right? Where he fattens it. So the point is that there, when we say that when he makes the wood into a chair, he pays the value of the wood, it's not that we have a havamina he'd pay so much the value of the chair, it's that the ganav is kone, and therefore he doesn't, in other words, that he'd have every right, presumably, to take the chair apart and give him back the wood, that would be, we would have no doubt, it's but that he doesn't have to give him back the wood.
No, right, but we take that logic and we apply it, I mean, as we said before, after Rav comes with the idea, and after, I guess there's assumption in Rav that it's about the people of Zula, then we apply the idea, even on things that are also different to Zula.
Right.
And so if it's stemming from the original idea in the Mishnah, then that would seem to not work with Beis Shammai also. Because in the Mishnah, it didn't seem to matter which way it went. If it was appreciating or depreciating. Even though originally the idea was about Kinyan,
No. The yoke of Azula is not being applied so much. I understand. At a certain stage, it is temporarily being applied. That's important. It's temporarily being applied in the interpretation of our Mishnah. Right? Lemaskanas a Mishnah. What's the issue?
In
Bava Metzia. The end of the sugya. Oh, well, we're not there yet. One second. We're going to have to get there. Okay. At this stage, I'm going to sort of spill the beans on this. I was bothered by a question of Psachim, which wasn't a question. I'm bothered by more the fact that we show and bring a Raya from Bava Metzia, when according to the Maskana of the Gemara Bava Metzia, what is the Mishnah talking about? What is the Mishnah of Bava Metzia talking about? What? Not Yukra Vizula. It's talking about Shevach Shel Gabi Gzela. Which means that Lamaskana Sagamara could be that the idea that the Mishnah and Hagozel, that Kol Gazlan Masham Kshasek Zela, applies to Yukra Vizula was only a half a minute of the Sugya. And those Lamaskana Sugya. All right, well, we'll get there in a second. Hold on. I'll get there in a second. So your kasha is only on the Mishnah Bava Metziah. Yilaka b'chaser v'yaser, and how would that fit with Rava Yukav Azula when it goes up? But the Maskana Sasugya, the Mishnah Bava Metziah is dafka not talking about Yukav Azula. It's talking about changing the object itself. It may still be that the Kol Gazlana Masham Kshasak Zela in Bava Kama is talking about Yukav Azula, but my R is that the Maskana Sasugya, we could say that in Hanami that Mishnah is also not talking about Yukav Azula, but that Mishnah doesn't present the problem for what you're saying. It's only the Mishnah here. And the Mishnah here, the Maskana Sagamar, we don't say is talking about Yukav Azula. Right? Okay.
You said that the Gazlan could take apart the chair and give back the wood, and that would be the correct value to pay back the other person.
Right.
Which is true, assuming they didn't change the wood, or it was a significant change.
Right.
But does that mean that they could really give back the chair?
I think the assumption would be, if you pay back the chair, that you'd be paying the value.
Right.
And it's presumably worth more than the wood.
So if you gave back the chair, you could make them pay you.
Well, not necessarily. That's just a general question. But it's Hashlum, and you're not paying the wood back anymore. In other words, am I allowed to demand change? I don't know the answer to that question.
It's like attaching the ganav to Yore the Tox of the Chavero.
Yes.
You're saying, yes,
but in this case you were Kona already. You're Kona the chair, it's only a question of what the nature, how, when you pay Tashlum in general, can I demand that you pay me change? Or do I have to give you exact change? Exact value, whatever it is. It's not our question. So, to continue on in the sugya, go ahead, Ami. But it's a straight, every one of these ukimtas, until the end, I don't have to, maybe not the last one, a series of ukimtas work with some sort of mishnah. There's really no machlokes b'sham yisil about how you pay kashas, whatever. It's just a question of whether it's called shlichas yad or not. It's a pella. It's an absolute pella. Okay. So the Gemara continues.
B'sham yisil v'y shlichas yad ina shlicha kitzurad. K'chaser b'shut didei chaser. V'hil of the v'y
okay, fine. So it's just a question of when the shlichus yad takes place, when you destroy it, or when you do the quasi shlichus yad if it had no chisara. Okay, now that's, by the way, a radical issue. That assumes that according to Beis Hillel, in order to be called shlichus yad, there has to be an immediate depreciation. That's almost a little bit like a shinui. As opposed to, let's say I take an object, let's say I take your barrel and I use it as a step stool. And nothing happens to it, and I'm not using it anymore. So according to this view, there's no more shlichus yad. The shlichus yad disappears if the barrel breaks as I'm standing on it. So that's chisaron. But if there's no chisaron, according to this claim, they still would say it's not called shlichus yad. Okay. Now the truth is, the Gemara is going to say the next line is, but if that's true, elaha. Yeah, which is a strange. I didn't look up the Mishnayos, but isn't that an explicit Mishnah? Has anybody here ever learned Hamafkid? There's a famous Mishnah with a stira in it about if you move your friends, if you're metaltel, imishihinicha nishbara. Did any of you learn Mishnah Bava Metziah?
We know better than to answer.
You know better than to answer. Okay, right. Don't tell me you learn Mishnah Bava Metziah. Learn Hamafkid, otherwise I'm going to tell you. Why didn't you remember? The Mishnah talks about a case where I move your barrel, in order to be in order to get a step stool. So it depends. If when I'm moving it or using it, it breaks, so that's one din. In Mishihinicha, later it breaks, so then... it depends on why you moved it. If you moved it for your own purposes, you're higher for it. So the question is, isn't that a Befer Shariah to Rava? I don't know why it's just Rava's din. No. Anyway, it's not my issue right now. So Rava says, Shlichus Yad Asni Chisaron, and I think that's the Mishnah. So Lema, Rava Damar Kibay Shammai. It's Ella.
Ella Haka Vumar Tinyan. Rasa Totum Ala Viyala Hagu.
Goes a lot. Ope se lo sabre.
Ope se lo sabre, shol shlomidat. Shol hape. Vichini chater, reshuta de mara chater.
Okay, so now it's not a guy who intended to steal it. It's a guy who just intended to use it and return it. He's a shol shlomidas. Right, no different. The truth is, a shol shlomidas, is a shomer worse than a regular shol shlomidas?
Shol shlomidas as a shomer?
Worse than a regular shol shlomidas?
I think he's somewhat better because he changes the status of the object, where it's a shol shlomidas, a regular shol shlomidas does something that's utter.
What's the difference between a shol
shlomidas
and a
ganav?
A ganav.
Because a ganav and a gazan don't intend to return it. A shoel intends to return it. What? No. Well, that might be gonav amanas lahachzir, but that the gonav amanas lahachzir might be shol shlomidas. Right, or you know what the difference might be also? Gonev amanas lahachzir is you mean, firstly, sometimes that may mean gonev amanas lahachzir or gonev amanas shalim. I think you're talking about the shalim. What's the, I don't remember the Rambam's formulation. So that might be shol shalomidas, or the alternative is that you intend, in other words, shol shalomidas really means to use it right now and return it immediately. Gana means he tends to steal it in the room, eventually he'll return it. I don't know, it might be the same thing. Might be the same thing. No, he separates the amanas lahachzir, amanas l'shalim. Amanas l'shalim means not to give the object itself back. So amanas lahachzir, it may just be shol shalomidas, but he's already incorporating the notion that person's a ganav or a gazlan. Okay. So what? Who's worse, a regular shol shalomidas or a shomer shol shalomidas?
What makes him a shomer?
The Baalim gave it to him.
Shalomidas.
No, they gave it to him midatam, but to be a shomer, not to use it.
Ah.
Interesting, and this is a case. This is a case where, by the way, a shomer might be worse, because he's betraying the duty accepted upon himself. I'm not going to make a big deal of that right now, but here the Gemara is assuming the two are to be equated. So it's a question of whether or not shol shalomidas is a gazlan. Beis Shammai says shol shalomidas is a gazlan. Beis Hillel says shol shalomidas is not a gazlan, and therefore, since you don't intend to keep the barrel, you're just using it as a stool, so you can move something. So lahaviyala guzalo. So Beis Hillel says you're not a gazlan, and therefore he's a shoel, and therefore it's not considered shlichus yad in effect. Okay, so ella, and it would mean at this point that in order to be shlichus yad according to Beis Hillel, you have to intend to keep it, not just intend to use it. Right, but the question is, what does it mean to be shaleach yad?
Right.
We know the maskana of the Gemara is to even use it without permission.
But that's the assumption
that once you're shaleach yad, then you're konet for onsen and things like that. Yeah. Okay. So lema se elohad amar Rava. Ahem. Hadama Rava shol shalomidas.
Rava shol shalomidas. The Rabban Gadli Gadlan Have lema Rava da amar kipei shalai. Ella hacha b'shevach to gizela k'mefugi b'shamei sevri shevach gizela d'nikzal hachay v'hilo sevri shevach gizela d'gafen hachay v'vlukta d'hani tzad z'nai d'tanya.
Okay, so what's the akim to shevach gizela? So now really what we're talking about is we're back to not yukra v'zula anymore. Right? Shevach gizela means if the animal gets weaker, gets sicker, let's say gets damaged, so everybody says yilake b'chaser. What about yilake b'yaser? So that's where Beis Hillel says no, that if the ganav improves in the shevach and the gzela, so Beis Hillel says the nignav doesn't get the shevach. The nignav only gets the value originally. He has to pay the gazan. That's like yori the toch sada shel chaver neta. Right? If I go into your field, I plant a tree, and you choose to keep the tree, you have to pay me at least for the hana that you got. You know, you pay either the lesser of the improvement or the hutzos that I spent. Right, if I spent $20 and I improve your field by $30, you pay me $20 if you choose to keep the tree. And if the improvement was only worth $15 and I spent $20, you only have to pay me the $15 since I did it shelo b'rishus. So Beis Shammai says in this case that the Nignav walks away with the Shevach, that he doesn't have to pay anything. And Beis Hillel says, no, that you don't say Yilake B'Yasser, you say that he's punished for the Chasser, he benefits from the Yasser. Okay, Sil Savi Shevach Zeh L'Gazlan Havei, Uplugta Dani Tanoi, and finally, and you quote the Machos Tanaim, go ahead. Tanya.
Gazaza Violda.
Two possibilities. What is the diuk? Rashi says that it says chaser v'yaser, it doesn't say yukra v'zula. That's what Rashi claims. That's a very strange diuk. I don't know if the Mishnah had those terms. I don't know. I guess, do you have Huzal in the Mishnah? I don't remember if you have it in Ezer Neshach. Huzlu v'amdu, is that Mishnah or is that the Gemara? I don't know. Okay, so that's the diuk that the Gemara makes. So, Lamaskanas HaGemara, what is the Mishnah in Bava Metzia talking about? Yukra v'zula or Shevach Mamish? Shevach and Chisaron. So about Shevach Chisaron, which means the Mishnah in Bava Metzia tells you nothing about Yukra v'zula. What about the Mishnah in Bava Kama, B'kal Gazlana Mishalman Kishas HaGzela? So in that case, we don't know. The Gemara here at least wanted to use that in the context of when they were thinking in terms of Yukra v'zula, they quoted that Mishnah as a raya about Yukra v'zula. L'maskanas HaGemara, we're not talking about Yukra v'zula, how would they understand that Mishnah? So they might still say that it applies to Yukra v'zula. But it's possible that the Gemara L'maskana could have just as well said that the Mishnah in HaGozel is not talking about Yukra v'zula. Again, I don't think that's probable. I think it's a reasonable deal, but not a compelling deal that the Rishonim make from the sugi. If you really felt compelled to explain Rav, why Rav had to say his din, you could say that Rav did not... Well, you could explain it differently. You could say that this sugya did not, in other words, the maskana of this sugya, it's not necessarily talking about Yukra v'zula.
Chaim. Would that be where Rav Sheshet says Rashi? I mean, at least his Havamina is coming from.
What Havamina?
I mean, where he first assumes that Rav's statements are referring to the case of
Shevach? Well, because that's the pashtus in Rav's statement. Achei l'keren kein sheganav sounds like you got to revive this cow. Right? You stole a vibrant cow, and now you get this cow, and you gotta give it a shot.
Was he being influenced by the Sugya in Bava Metzia?
Probably not. Was he influenced by the Mishnah in Bava Metzia? That I don't know. Let's have to think about. That I'm not sure. Okay. Psachim. Let's at least get through Psachim. I'd like to get to Tosus too. Maybe not Tosus Rid, but good. Ami?
Alright.
Okay. Information bulletin. The punishment for eating truma if you are a non-Kohen. Okay, by the way, the assumption here, by the way, is of course you're talking about a czar. Okay. Secondly, the following are the dinim you should be aware of, basic dinim. If a non-Kohen eats truma, and he does it b'mezid, he's chayv misabidei shamayim. And if assuming the truma already belonged to a specific kohen, he has to pay whatever the cash value of the truma was. Truma has value; it can be sold by kohanim, it can be sold by non-kohanim. If a non-kohen comes into the possession of truma, either by buying it or inheriting it from his grandfather, who was a kohen, even though he's not, it's a sellable. You're allowed to buy and sell truma. As a market value, it tends to be worth less than hulin because it has a very restricted; it has a less demand. And therefore, there's no maila to getting truma over chulin for the most part. Okay. Now, that's if you eat it b'mezid. If you eat it b'shogeg, there's a unique din. In this case, you have to pay back. You have to be mosif chomesh. And, I should add one more detail. If you do it b'mezid, you chai malchus as well. Misa b'de shemayim and malchus. And if you eat it b'shogeg, you have to pay back karim b'chomesh. And it's not that you're paying cash value. you're paying for kapara purposes, and you do something very unusual. Normally, let's say I have chulin mesukanim. I have produce which has been properly tithed. And I say, Ben, any other kohan besides Ben? Remind me. Any kohan at the moment? Okay, no kohan at the moment. Okay, Ben, I'm so pleased with what you've been doing, and therefore I want to give you some more truma. And I take half my thing, or a 50th of my chulin, and I say, Ben, here you go. So it belongs to Ben, probably. But does it have the status of truma? Why not, Shlomo?
Because it's not classified as truma. You can call it whatever you want to.
But you can't separate truma except for from tevel. Right? Once truma has been separated, you can't separate truma a second time. It's correct.
And if you picked up...
You can separate as much truma as you want from tevel.
You get one shot.
Right. Except right. If you picked up your whole tevel except and gave
for,
it to me.
Except for not count. All of it. It has to be rachis. And if there's no shira and ikarim, so fine. Okay, thank you. So if I give truma, so you normally cannot make something truma except for when you're fixing tevel. With one exception. When I ate truma b'shogeg and I pay back the truma b'shogeg, I have to give the kohen chulin misukanim haru'uyim lios truma, meaning a kind of food that could be chayav in truma in principle, but it's already chulin misukanim. And when I give it to the kohen, the karen and the chomesh, poof, abracadabra, it turns into truma.
So
it has kedushas truma.
Is that why the Gemara discusses
chomesh? I don't remember which part of the Gemara. Did you go further? Which you mean in Bava Mekama?
No, in
I didn't give you that part. You went further.
No, I was
oh, I'm sorry. The first one. One second. I'm sorry.
Is that why they need to give that case? The chumsha, in order to teach you that the chumash is also considered.
I say. One second.
Is also considered truma. So it has a din in truma.
I don't know if dafka. That's the reason why they.
It seems very odd to just add that.
The chumsha. You know, I wasn't even paying attention. Chumsha, the chumsha is. Did you look up the Mishnah?
No.
Is it even there?
I mean, Rashi mentioned that just that. You know, that chumash now becomes truma.
No. I understand that. It becomes part of the Karen, in effect. It all becomes right, yes. So it all becomes truma. One second. Where's the Mishnah?
It's
peripheral, but Perek Vav, Mishnah Aleph in Trumas, and I magically am open to Trumas.
Is Aramaic?
Yes.
Is that what you're asking about?
Yes. Ocha Truma Shoyim Mishalim Kam Chavar Echad Ocha Shoyim Mishalim Echad Truma Mishalim. No, it's in Hebrew. It's just the Mishalim Chomsha V'Chomesh Chomsha. Fine. Okay, it was just that struck me as odd, but it's just
the. That's only in a case where you accidentally eat it again.
Yes.
Is the point that they brought it to teach you that
is that why the Mishnah adds
full din of truma?
Possibly. That might be. That might very well be, yes.
It might be affected by the attempt to say that it's not like tamura.
That'd be very clever, Yitzi. A tamura can't make a tamura. But truma can make truma. All right. I doubt it. It's clever, but it's a nice drush. Right, because all you have to do, if you do a tmura on truma, you get a tmura. All right, I'm going to move on from here and save the. Okay, or if you're dyslexic on truma, then you have tmura. You have tmura or so tmura. I understand. But okay, that's the basic din. And because what you're doing is so unique, it's really viewed as a kapara, not as mamona, and the kohen can't be mochel. If I eat Ben's truma, b'mezid, or anybody's truma, b'mezid, who wants to own the truma, and the person's mochel, I don't have to pay. But if I eat it b'shogeg, I must pay, and I presume, I don't know if the Mishnah talks about, what if a czar owns truma and another czar eats it? Who does he pay the karen v'chomesh to? It may be to any kohen, but I think I may have to go to a kohen, I'm not sure. But certainly, even if it goes to the person who owned it, it's not nitan lemechila. Because the guy can be mochel, he can say, give it to whomever you want, but you must pay back something to somebody in order that it becomes truma.
How do you find truma something that's on Pesach? Meaning, you go to a kohen's house, and...
Yeah.
And
He had Chametz Shavuot on Pesach.
Oh, it's not on Pesach.
Oh no, I'm sorry. It's on Pesach. It's on Pesach because after I want to avoid after Pesach.
Doesn't it have no value?
Yes. Well, that's exactly what I was going to discuss. Okay, right. When you lay out, see, it's so much easier to understand the Gemara when you have all the basic facts in place because you just ask the Gemara's question.
No, right.
When you
read the Gemara and you get to the last guy and you forget.
Right. No, I understand, but the question is so obvious. So now, what does the Mishnah say? If you eat trumas chametz in Pesach, b'shalay mekaren shalay mishalim karen mechomish b'meiz patar shulman me'etim. So b'meiz, the reason why you're patar is because when you eat truma b'meiz, what are you paying back? What are you paying back to the Kohen? The value. And what is the Chametz B'Pesach worth?
Nothing.
Zero. And what is it worth mitzad demei eitzim to be used as fuel? Zero. Right? Now, the truth is there a truma that you can't eat, but you can get hanah from?
Yeah,
true. Truma Tameya. Right?
It's
not all Truma Tameya is useful. If you have Truma Tameya, which is oil, like olive oil, it's very useful. If you have Truma Tameya, which is wine, it's not quite as useful. The Gemara in Pesachim somewhere talks about Ziluf, sprinkling the house with it, you know, to keep the dust down and to have a nice fragrance, like air freshener. But I think they don't like it because we're afraid, because Ziluf stays around, the wine will have to stay around a long time, and someone might come to drink it. Whereas Shemen, you burn, it gets burned pretty quickly. So Kohanim could benefit from Truma Tameya if it could be used as fuel. I don't think wine burns. I've never tried it, but I don't think wine would burn. Alcohol may sometimes burn, but I don't know. What?
Wine doesn't burn.
Correct. Thank you. Maybe that's grape juice. But you're correct, Chaim. Better brings me a rye from the. The Mishnah is Vachim. What do you do if you're Misnadev Yayin Lamizbeach? That's a famous Dabashin Miskavid issue. Rabbi Tarfon says you pour it on the flame. And the Gemara says Shmuel says you pour it in a way that, you know, it's not Mechabit. But yes, it's a Davar Pashar. I don't know. At some point, alcohol does burn, doesn't it? I don't know what content. Okay, Goldberg, I want to know what percentage of alcohol do you need?
I've seen more than 6%.
I've seen it with like
40%. Okay. So anyway,
if you make havdalah on vodka.
On vodka, right? Okay. If you make, probably it has to be the kind of thing when you leave it out it rapidly. There's certain apparently high, very high alcoholic things. Where if you leave it uncovered, you come back the next day, it will almost all be gone. Okay. just don't tell the fire people here. Okay, fine. Anyway, right. So isn't that how the guys do the trick at the wedding? They breathe fire. They use alcohol somehow.
That's how they
really.
What? Okay. Anyway, fine. So you're making fun of me, Wilder. That's all right. Fine. Ibailu. Ibailu. Go ahead. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara's question. I think that makes it clear. The question is, what Meshoge you pay Karen Mechomesh? Okay, you pay Karen Mechomesh now. How do you pay Karen Mechomesh? Well, that's an inherent problem. Because how do you calculate a fifth? And how do you calculate the Karen? What's that?
You mean we've got
the bar? The problem is,
if
it's worth nothing, how do you... So if you're paying the fidumim, as the Gemara will term it, how do you pay back anything? So that's where the Gemara says,
by
the Kishim Mishalim,
and...
The logara. So you have to say, what does it mean, meikar shavi arba? When? I presume the last value before. I assume it means that. I mean, means the market value for a goy is 4 zuz when he steals it. In other words, what does it mean meikara here?
I think it can mean when you eat it and when you find a big value.
Before Pesach? But why should you use a before Pesach value on it if after all, if you're looking at the values, it's zero when Pesach comes. It makes more sense to say that when it means that when he ate it, it was worth in the open market for Goyim this 4 zuz. And now when he's coming to actually do the kapara to pay the tashlumin, it's worth 1 zuz. So, in such a case, Vada, you would have to pay the fee to Damim. Why? When did he steal it?
Ate it.
When did he steal it? This may be what was bothering me, actually. There's something else that's bothering me. When did he steal it? Before or during Pesach?
We don't know. How do we know he stole it? He just ate it.
Okay, fine. So I'm asking, did he steal it, or did he just eat it? Walk up to your thing and eat it. Because if he walked up to your thing and ate it,
it would be on Pesach.
What dubbin are we talking about here?
Is it possible that the Gemara isn't discussing the case of Pesach, but is it talking in general when you eat them if you pay for the visa or...
Ah, so that's what you have to say, right? Okay, that's pashut. That's obvious. Thank you. That is what. I realized that earlier, but now that's why. Okay, it was a good kasha, but it wasn't a kasha. So when you pay back, you stole truma, okay, or you ate truma. You better say you ate truma. You ate, let's say, truma of grapes, assuming grapes are chayav in truma with daraisa. You know, some of you know that Ramban on Chumash, Ramban on Hibashas Karach, claims that it's only dagan tira shayitzar, only the liquid form of the olives and the grapes. But you drank wine. You drank a cup of wine. And the wine was worth 4 zuz, and now you're going to pay back a cup of wine. And now, are you paying back the original cup of wine? What? No, you drank that.
Right.
So you're paying back different wine. So in such a case, of course you pay back. And let's say a cup of wine is now worth $2 instead of 4. So what do you pay back? Now, can you pay cash? No. Because you got to pay Dava Harai Lios Truma. You have to find wine which has been properly tithed, and you pay that back. So if you're going to give one cup of wine, and that's ridiculous. Why can that be? Not me din paying back Truma. But midin gezel. If I steal, forget, let's say one truma. Let's say I stole one cup of your wine, and I drank it. And now I come to pay you back. If I want to pay... Right, I can't pay you back a cup of wine that's worth half of the original one. Forget the truma part. I've got to pay you back something that has at least the shop use of what I stole if I'm not paying back the original item. You see? Maybe. Well, one second. Maybe that would be possible. So that can't be the Logarmi Gazlan. The Tanan.
But he is a
Gazlan. That's why it's no worse than a Gazlan. He didn't technically steal. Let's say he walked up and ate it. He didn't actually do a Maisa Gzela. I mean, technically, this is the point. It's not Gara from a regular case of Gzela. This odd case of Gzela. So what does he say? Kiti Baila, Demi Kara. So my lefi. So let's say he stole a thing of wine and he drank it, and wine was originally worth 1 zuz, and now the wine is worth 4 zuz. Now this is not Rabba's case. Rabba's case is that the wine appreciated and then he drank it. This is that he drank it, then it appreciated. So Lagabe, for the purposes of Damim, what would he have to pay back?
4 times?
No. He stole it. It was worth 1. He drank
it. 1/4 is...
He can get back a quarter of a cup of wine. I mean, the question is, for the purposes of Dava Rai Lias Truma, does he pay back a cup of wine? Gayu acha gari mishayim odim levi dam mishalim. Bezuz acha bezuz mishayim. What he pays has to be in the currency of something that can become truma. Okay. Now, I don't want to say anything further on this unless people want to press to go on in the Gemara, because it's irrelevant to our sugya. I hope that's okay. I would like to at least start Tosas. But certainly from the perspective of the Rishonim's point, I think the Gemara, there's something that bothered me about it. I think it doesn't bother me anymore. That the Gemara does assume that the Mishnah of Kol HaGazlan and Misham and Kishas HaGzeila refers not only to a case of Shinei, but also to a case of?
Truma.
Yukra Vizula. Right, that's why we're doing this Gemara. Let's not forget that piece. So that's why all the Rishonim, now coming back to our original case, all the Rishonim asked the question, what was the big chiddush of Rav that Kol HaGazlanim, that Achi LeKaren Kein Shigonav? If after all it's a Mishnah Kol HaGazlanim, Mishalim Kishak Zeila, V'chi Tema, but that Mishnah is not talking about Yerkev Zula, but these two sugyas. Bav Metzia, more questionably, but certainly the Gemara Pesachim, assume that we are talking about, the Mishnah is also talking about Yerkev Zula, not only Shinui. That's the question we should ask. Now let's read Tosa. Shlomo, you want to take it? Gufa Amar Rav, Karen Kain Shigana. Very well read. That's Tosis's Kasha, and then we spell that out as clear as can be. What is Rav telling us? It's the Mishnah, the Chitema, the Mishnah is not talking about Yerkev Zula, the Mishnah is talking about Yerkev Zula, and Haraya, the two sugyos. The Teretz. What's the question Tosis is answering by the Hachi Perusha? Tosis answers the question, the original question, that the Ikar of Rav is Kefil Dalad Vehe. And when the Gemara asks my time at the Rav, it's asking about Rav's Chiddush, Tashlumei Dalad Vehe, Kefil and Dalad Vehe. So what is the implicit question of Tosis in Vahachi Perusha? When you say, whenever you say Hachi Ka'amar in the Gemara, it means you're bothered by something, you're rewording it. Hachi Perusha is the same thing, which is, Shlomo?
If you read the Gemara, it seems to be the case on Karen.
Ache le Karen ke'en shagona. So Vahachi Perusha, Tosis says.
Amar Kra, Gineva V'chaim, Ache le Karen ke'en shagona. Mashmle davka le Karen, v'lo tashmle dalek
v'he. So that's the point. Okay, obviously you can always figure out the question by looking at what the answer is, but you have to think about what the question was. Fine. Im toma, or any question, so that's what we said already. We said this almost all about Pet. Now the next part is a little bit tricky. Im toma.
Im toma ba gozal kam. Zama rabba. Gazal shalosh agudos. Begimel frutos. Behuzlu. Vamdu al beis. Vehezu al beis. Chai vahazu al
beis. And the way Tosus claims, I believe, later, is that you have to pay back. The only way, you can't give him back. Here, I stole three agudos, bundles of something, when each one vegetables. Each one was worth a pruta. And now, vegetables depreciate. And I paid back two of the bundles that I stole. So the din is I have to pay back the third bundle. Even though, how much is the third bundle worth now? Less than a pruta. And less than a pruta is not considered an ikov of the Karen. What does ikov of the Karen mean? What do I mean by that? If I steal from Morty, I steal $100, and I swear I deny owing it, so now I owe $125. And now I do tshuva. What do I have to do? I pay him $125, and I have to bring a karban asham. Now, what order do I do things in? Shalom, you should know this. If I have to pay back Karim Chomeshri asham, what order must it be done in? All the Mishnayos in the ninth parak. Chomesh is not Ma'akeh, but you cannot bring the carbon until you bring the Karen. And if you do, what do you have to do? You have to bring another carbon, because God is not interested in your carbon until you've paid back the other fellow. The Chomesh is not Ma'akeh, you still owe it, but if you haven't paid back the Karen, the carbon's pasul. Or the carbon's not, doesn't fulfill his obligation, the Kohen might be able to eat it. And as long as there's a pruta's worth or more left of the Karen that was not paid back, then your carbon's possible, or at least not olala. Morty?
Is that because you haven't completed the
I think the moral lesson is obvious, yes. I think that's a davar pashut. Right? You basically, God's not interested in your bringing the carbon kapara until you've righted the wrongs that you did. What's that? Yes. Lama li rov sivchechem. There's no question about that. It's a, you know, you could learn these mishnayos and you could spend hours and hours and hours in the Beis Medrash and working through all the lumdas and so on, but you should stop and admire the morality as well. Goldberg, you're lucky that I don't have any good objects to throw at you, okay? We'll just call you Jacob from now on, okay? That was a Neusner line about Mishnah being a work of philosophy. Wise guy. Okay. So the Gemara says like this. If I have three bundles, and when I steal them, they're each worth a pruta. So if I only return two, I still have a pruta's worth of the keren, and it's maki of the karban. What if they now depreciate? And now the third aguda that I haven't paid back, right now it's worth less than a shava pruta. So Rava says, you must be machzer the achas. Now, when you machzer achas, incidentally, but this is a side point, let's say I ate that, you know, I ate one of the bundles of broccoli. You can't go to the store, buy another bundle of broccoli for two-thirds of a pruta, and now give it back to the guy. If I don't have the original bundle of broccoli, I have to pay him. And what am I going to pay him? How much? No. You're going to pay him one pruta, because kaz gazlan mishal mikshas agzela. Now, this is a case, by the way, this is a case where, and even though, if I pay him back, I must pay him a pruta. But if I give him back the aguda, what am I paying him? Less than a pruta. And yet I can pay him back that one aguda. Now, why should that be good? If the reason I have to pay him in the first place is because I owe him a pruta, so how can I give him something that's less than a pruta? So the Gemara said, Vitana tuna. There's the Mishnah says, Kala gazlana mishal mikashasek zelim, whenever the object is not be'en. Right, so why don't we bring a raya from the Mishnah that the original pruta is still a chiyuv, because if you don't have the third aguda be'en, then kol gazlana mishalman kishas hagzela, meaning that the chiyuv is determined, and legabe yukra v'zula is determined by the Mishnah. It's a gevaldik question. Now, I'm not sure I fully... Okay, I'm sorry. So the point is that there's no raya from the Mishnah when you have a Yukra Vizula case and then you destroy the object. There's no raya... There's no raya to the case of the aguda, because if the object still were extant, were in existence, then it would be bas hashava, it would be worth a pruta. It might be worth less than it was originally, but it'd be worth kesef. It would have shavius. But in the case of the aguda, just as in the case of the chomet shalav pesach, it's not bas hashava, meaning it's not worth a pruta, it's not kesef anymore. It can't be, kesef yoshiv livalov. It's not bas hashava. And the fact that you can pay back the aguda, and you have to pay back the aguda, and you can't pay back the aguda, the raya to that is from, really, the raya that you can pay back the aguda is from Gazal Chametz Vavav Pesach, Omer Lo Harei Shulcha Lefanecha. Okay. Okay, Aval. It would be worth nothing, and afilu hachi, you pay back the original here, and so here, there you pay whatever the chametz was worth when you stole it before Pesach, and here you'd pay a pruta. Okay. I'm sorry, one second. You know, we skipped into the next question. We'll finish up. We either will or won't finish up this line next time. This is sort of just a side comment about why I think the right is not as relevant. The goal tomorrow is to do the Tosas Rid. Okay, now that we've done a little bit of the Gemara Bava Kamma and Kufei, I want you to go over that Gemara inside carefully. And then, Kufei, Gasal Shalash Agudis B'Shalash Prutos. Okay, and then you can do the Tosas Rid, and, you know, I don't know if we're going to get beyond that before, and tomorrow's the last day. If we do, I may have a few more, and then sort of the next topic I want to talk about, the issue of Chusha V'Hishmina, if it happens Me'eleha, what's the din? It's a Machlokas HaRishonim. Tosas has one particular angle on it, but the Dash is a major Machlokas HaRishonim. Chaim, question?
I'm just wondering if there is an improvement
or something, whether you have to Me'eleha or not. How would you have Hishmina? Kusha Me'eleha would be if you offer, let's say, to feed it and it just doesn't want to eat. You can go and see that it didn't actually eat from the trough because it's become picky, whatever it is, whereas if you locked it up and you made it work hard and you didn't feed it and you gave it an opportunity for eating, so that would be Chesha B'Yadayim, I think. So you could sometimes demonstrate that. Right? Not always. I mean, the truth is that the Re'iri says he thinks that the reason why the Gemara, the basic kasha is, how come the Gemara never suggests that maybe Rav is talking about a case where Chesha Me'eleha or Nispatma Me'eleha. And so some Rishonim say the Gemara didn't give that teretz because there's no difference between whether it's Me'eleha or whether it's B'Yadayim. The Me'iri says the reason why the Gemara, to explain Shitas HaRif and other Rishonim, the reason why the Gemara is to give that case, because to happen Me'eleha without any cause of the person is extremely unusual. Certainly, how is it going to be Nispatma Me'eleha unless you give it extra food? And Echisha Me'eleha, again, unless you starve it, normally it doesn't happen. It could, if the animal gets all of a sudden, it loses its appetite, but... Okay, so that'll be tomorrow. Tomorrow's year should be regular time, 1:15. We might actually. If we get through the Tosas Rid, we'll have questions. Okay, we're done for now.